Thank you for joining us for our second quarter 2023 results call. As usual, our Chief Executive Officer Christian Sewing will speak first, followed by our Chief Financial Officer James von Moltke. The presentation, as always, is available to download in the Investor Relations section of our website at db.com. Before we get started, let me just remind you that the presentation contains forward-looking statements which may not develop as we currently expect. We therefore ask you to take notice of the precautionary warning at the end of our material. With that, let me hand over to Christian.
Thank you, Silke, and a warm welcome also from my side. It's a pleasure to be discussing our second quarter and first half results with you today. These results provide a vital perspective of the progress we are making towards our objectives. For me, a few key points stand out. First, we have strong growth momentum. Revenues in the first half year were up 8% to 15.1 billion euros, putting the upper end of our guidance range of 28 to 29 billion euros within reach. We also captured net inflows of 28 billion euros across the private bank and asset management. We are reaping the benefits of a complementary and well-balanced earnings mix. We are delivering strong growth in our private bank and corporate bank franchises and resilience in key areas of our investment bank. Second, we have proven our earnings power. We generated profit before tax of 3.3 billion euros in the first 6 months, up 2% over last year, and the highest first half since 2011, after absorbing more than 700 million euros in non-operating costs, including restructuring related to operational efficiencies. Excluding these non-operating costs, pre-tax profit would have been 4 billion euros, 21% higher than in the first half of 2022 on a comparable basis. Our post-tax ROTE was 6.8%. and would have been above 9%, excluding non-operating costs and with bank levies apportioned equally across the year, very close to our 2025 target of above 10%. Third, our balance sheet and capital position are resilient. Our CET1 ratio has risen to 13.8%, driven by strong organic capital generation. We have sound liquidity and a solid deposit base, which we slightly increased in the second quarter. Fourth, we are delivering on our promise to distribute capital to shareholders. As announced yesterday evening, we have received supervisory approval to start share buybacks of up to 450 million euros, 50% higher than last year. Together with the dividend we paid in respect of 2022, we aim to distribute more than 1 billion euros of capital to shareholders this year. This will bring total distributions across 2022 and 2023 to around 1.75 billion euros, and of course, it is our clear aim to continue on that trajectory in 2024 as part of our 8 billion euro distribution promise. Fifth, we are accelerating the execution of our Global House Bank strategy. We are already making good progress in driving operational efficiency, boosting capital efficiency, and outperforming our revenue growth target. Let me now discuss the franchise strengths across our businesses in the first half year on slide 2. Starting with the corporate bank. We delivered 30% revenue growth with strong momentum across all business areas. With non-interest expenses up 6%, operating leverage in this business was 24% in the first half of 2023. That enabled us to deliver an ROTE of nearly 17%. In the investment bank, we demonstrated the stability of our financing business and resilience of our FIC franchise overall after the exceptionally strong levels of the same period of last year. And we are further diversifying our investment bank by strengthening our O&A business both organically and inorganically. We announced the acquisition of Numis and seized opportunities to add revenue generators through selective hiring. Turning to the Private Bank, we grew revenues by 10% in the first half of 2023. These are the best 6 months revenues since the formation of the Private Bank, with double-digit year-on-year growth in both the first and second quarters of the year. We also generated net inflows of 13 billion euros in the first half year. This helped us grow assets under management by 23 billion euros to 541 billion euros during the first 6 months of 2023. Finally, we also grew volumes in asset management. We captured net asset inflows of 15 billion euros or 19 billion euros ex cash, driven by passive and alternatives, both focus areas for us. That enabled us to grow assets under management by 38 billion euros to 859 billion euros in the first half year. And these businesses are strongly complementary, which drives sustained revenue growth, as we show on slide 3. Over the past 2 years, we have seen steady growth in first half revenues. We see ourselves well on track to deliver at the higher end of our full year guidance of 28 to 29 billion euros. We achieved this despite significant shifts in the operating environment over the past 24 months, as a strong post-COVID recovery in 2021 gave way to inflationary headwinds and economic uncertainties driven by the war in Ukraine. We maintain our growth trajectory in a changing environment, thanks in a good measure to a complementary business portfolio. As mentioned, we delivered strong revenue growth in our corporate and private banks, which took full advantage of rising interest rates and new client mandates. We expect that momentum to continue into the second half of 2023. This, together with the stable contribution from the investment bank's financing business, more than offset normalizing conditions in our more market-sensitive businesses. That reflects a well-balanced revenue mix in line with our global house bank ambition. As we anticipate some normalization of interest rates, we aim to further complement our earnings mix. We are making investments in capital-light businesses, including origination and advisory and wealth management, together with technology-enabled high-return businesses in the corporate bank. Finally, across all business, we continue to make progress towards our sustainability targets. We added ESG financing and investment volumes of 17 billion euros in the second quarter, bringing our cumulative total to 254 billion euros since January 2020. And our business growth has further increased our underlying earnings power, as we set out on slide 4. As I said earlier, our first half profit before tax of 3.3 billion euros was up 2% compared to the first half of 2022. And as you can see, pre-provision profit was up 8% at 4 billion euros after absorbing significantly higher non-operating costs than in the prior year. Non-operating costs were 744 million euros, comprising litigation charges to settle mainly long-standing matters and restructuring and severance as we realize operational efficiencies. Revenues were up 8%, while adjusted costs, which exclude non-operating items, were up only 2%, below inflation despite continued investments in our platform. And with prorated bank levies, adjusted operating leverage was 5%. This earnings power is reflected in the progress we are making on our key target ratios. Post-tax ROTE, excluding non-operating costs and with bank levies apportioned equally over the four quarters of the year, would be over 9% in the first half of 2023, while our cost-income ratio would be 67%. In other words, we are on a clear path towards achieving our 2025 targets. Before I hand over to James, a few words on the progress we are making to accelerate delivery of our Global Hausbank strategy, as we discussed with you in April on slide 5. We aim to accelerate delivery on three dimensions: operational efficiency, capital efficiency, and revenue growth, where we aim to outperform our original targets. We have already made progress in all of these. Turning first to operational efficiencies. We raised our ambition for incremental efficiencies from 2 billion euros to 2.5 billion euros, as we said. We have already delivered more than 600 million euros through a range of measures such as branch closures in the private bank, standardizing loan processing in the corporate bank and investment bank, and simplifying our technology infrastructure. We anticipate 300 million euros of savings by 2025 from the successfully completed migration of 12 million Postbank clients onto the Deutsche Bank technology platform. And we expect more than 100 million euros from the announced redundancies in senior non-client-facing roles, as more than 80% of affected staff have either been informed or left the platform. In other words, a total of around 1 billion euros in savings are either already achieved or are expected from measures now implemented. We have a series of other measures in flight. For example, streamlining our mortgage business and further branch closures in the private bank, re-engineering more front-to-back processes in the corporate bank and investment bank, further application decommissioning, and additional workforce measures. These are some examples of a wider program of initiatives underway. Based on our progress on these and realized achievements so far, we reaffirm our 2.5 billion euro goal. In respect of capital efficiencies, as you know, our aim is to reduce risk-weighted assets by 15 to 20 billion euros by 2025 relative to our baseline assumptions with a modest revenue impact. In the second quarter, we accelerate securitization transactions, which delivered RWA relief of around 3 billion euros. In addition, credit risk RWAs were reduced as part of the trade finance and lending optimization efforts. Overall, we proved our revenue strengths with the business delivering revenue growth, while our FX-adjusted RWAs decreased by 5 billion euros compared to the prior year quarter. We have further optimization measures in preparation for the second half of 2023, including securitization of consumer finance loans and reductions in sub-hurdle lending. All this gives us confidence that we will deliver on our capital optimization goals. Turning finally to revenue growth, we are fully on track to outperform on our revenue growth targets of 3.5 to 4.5% compound annual growth against 2021 levels. On a last 12-month basis, we delivered compound annual revenue growth versus 2021 of 7.5%, well ahead of that target, with revenue growth of 8% in the first half of this year. We expect the interest rate environment to continue to drive sustainable performance in our stable businesses. We anticipate added momentum from our organic and inorganic investments, including the Numis acquisition or the new partnership with Lufthansa and Miles & More, and from hiring of some 50 senior O&A bankers. This enables us to take advantage of an expected pickup in corporate finance activity. We are already seeing signs of this in our backlog. We have also hired around 30 wealth managers. And we expect the growth in our assets under management and net asset inflows to drive fee income in future quarters. To sum up, we are delivering revenue and business growth of a strong franchise. Our well-balanced, complementary business mix enables us to drive continued revenue momentum. We are increasing our earnings power year by year, and we see a clear path to achieving our 2025 profitability targets, among others, an ROT of larger than 10% in 2025. And we are delivering on two key promises: distributing 8 billion euros to shareholders and accelerating execution of our global house bank strategy. With that, let me hand over to James.
Thank you, Christian. Let me start with a few key performance indicators on slide 7 and place them in the context of our 2025 targets. Christian outlined the strong revenue momentum and our well-balanced business mix, which resulted in revenue growth of well above 7% on a compound basis for the last 12 months relative to 2021. This performance puts us well on track to deliver revenue growth above our 2025 target. The strong revenue growth combined with ongoing cost discipline led to a 2 percentage point improvement in the cost-income ratio to 73% in the first 6 months compared to 2022, despite significantly higher non-operating expenses in the second quarter, which we would not expect to repeat in the same magnitude in coming periods. Our capital position has remained strong, and our CET1 ratio of 13.8% positions us well for capital distributions, investments, and the implementation of regulatory changes. Our liquidity metrics remain strong. The LCR was 137%, above our target of around 130%, and in the second quarter, the net stable funding ratio was 119%. In short, our performance in the period reaffirms our confidence in reaching our 2025 targets. With that, let me turn to the second quarter highlights on slide 8. Group revenues were 7.4 billion euros, up 11% on the second quarter of 2022. Non-interest expenses were 5.6 billion euros, up 15% year on year. The increase was largely driven by the 655 million euros of non-operating expenses in the quarter, compared to 102 million euros in the prior year period. Non-operating expenses this quarter included 260 million of restructuring and severance provisions to accelerate the execution of our global house bank strategy, primarily through a reduction in non-client-facing roles and optimization of our mortgage platform. To settle a number of long-standing litigation matters, we incurred litigation charges of 395 million euros, as, in each case, the outcome was higher than expected. Adjusted costs increased year on year, which I will discuss in more detail shortly. Provision for credit losses was 401 million euros, or 33 basis points of average loans. We generated a profit before tax of 1.4 billion euros, down 9% year on year, mainly due to the higher non-operating items. Net profit of 900 million euros was also impacted by the higher effective tax rate, principally reflecting the non-deductibility of certain litigation charges. Our cost-income ratio was just under 76%, and our post-tax return on average tangible shareholders' equity was 5.4% in the quarter. Excluding the aforementioned non-operating expenses, the cost-income ratio would have been 67% and post-tax return on average tangible shareholders' equity close to 9%. Diluted earnings per share was 19 cents in the second quarter, and tangible book value per share was 26 euros and 95 cents, up 5% year on year. Let me now turn to some of the drivers of these results, starting with interest rate developments on slide 9. Net interest margin in the private bank and corporate bank remained strong in the second quarter as deposit betas remained below our modeled assumptions in both divisions. We expect margins to begin to decline from this point, but expect that the tailwind from interest rates for 2023 will be larger than the 900 million euros we had guided at the start of the year. Net interest margin at the group level increased to 1.5% as the accounting effects we noted in the first quarter partially reversed. As we noted at the time, these effects are held in C&O and are offset in non-interest revenues in the businesses and do not affect the group's total revenues. Average interest earning assets declined compared to the first quarter, driven by lower average cash balances in the second quarter. With that, let's turn to adjusted costs on slide 10. Adjusted costs excluding bank levies were 4.9 billion euros, and this is consistent with our guidance range of 1.6 to 1.65 billion euros per month. The increase of 4% was driven by inflationary pressures, ongoing investments, and business growth, which are partially offset by our continued cost reduction efforts. Compensation and benefits and information technology costs were broadly flat to the prior year quarter. Higher professional service costs were driven by business consulting and legal fees. The variance in other costs includes higher expenses for banking services and outsourced operations, as well as movements in operational taxes. We also saw a normalization of marketing spend and talent recruitment to foster our growth trajectory. Let's now turn to provision for credit losses on slide 11. Provision for credit losses in the second quarter was 401 million euros, equivalent to 33 basis points of average loans, slightly up compared to the previous quarter, reflecting the broader impact of the macro environment. Stages 1 and 2 provisions were 63 million euros, with the moderate sequential increase driven by portfolio and rating movements, especially in the investment bank. Stage 3 provisions of 338 million euros were broadly spread across our businesses and slightly lower compared to the previous quarter, partly reflecting a non-recurrence of provisions relating to a small number of idiosyncratic events in the international private bank. Overall, there are currently no signs of a persistent deterioration in the environment. However, we observed softening in some German mid-cap sectors, including automotive, and continued weakness in commercial real estate. For the full year, we continue to expect provisions to land within our guidance range of 25 to 30 basis points of average loans, albeit at the upper end of the range. Looking at the first 6 months, provisions were in line with our expectations if we include the non-recurring events in the international private bank we had in the first quarter. And for the second half of the year, we expect the usual quarterly run rate of about 150 million euros in the private bank, while provisions in the corporate bank and investment bank are expected to overall remain in line with the first half of the year taken together. Before we move to performance in our businesses, let me turn to capital on slide 17. Our Common Equity Tier 1 ratio was 13.8% at the end of the second quarter, 15 basis points above the prior period. Organic capital generation contributed 16 basis points to the increase, reflecting our strong net income, which was offset mainly by higher regulatory deductions for common equity dividends and AT1 coupons. Risk-weighted assets remained broadly flat this quarter. In the second half of the year, we expect approximately 70 basis points of headwinds from various items we have discussed with you before, notably impacts from model and methodology changes, share buybacks, and the Numis acquisition. And our leverage ratio was 4.7% at the end of the second quarter, 4 basis points up versus the prior quarter, based on our strong organic capital generation. Let's now turn to performance in our businesses, starting with the corporate bank on slide 14. Corporate bank revenues in the second quarter were over 1.9 billion euros, 25% higher year on year, driven by an improved interest rate environment and continued pricing discipline, with growth across all client segments. Revenues remain close to the prior quarter due to continued lagging rate pass-through, fee growth in institutional client services, and stabilized deposit volumes. As we highlighted at our first quarter results, we do expect a normalization of our interest revenues in the second half of the year as client pass-through further accelerates. Deposits were 271 billion euros, essentially flat compared to the prior year quarter and to the first quarter of 2023, as deposit levels stabilized despite increased interest rate competition and strong pricing discipline. Loan volume in the corporate bank was 116 billion euros, down by 13 billion euros compared to the prior year quarter, and 5 billion euros compared to the previous quarter. This reduction reflected overall lower demand and continued selective balance sheet deployment in our trade finance and lending business, as well as the negative impact from FX movements. We remain conservative in our underwriting at this point in the cycle and continue to apply strict lending standards in order to maintain the high quality of our loan portfolio. Provision for credit losses increased in the quarter, reflecting a weakening in certain subsectors. Non-interest expenses were 1.2 billion euros, an increase of 10% year on year, driven by increased non-operating costs, predominantly litigation provisions, whereas adjusted costs remained stable. Profit before tax was 670 million euros in the quarter, up by 52% year on year. The cost income ratio improved to 59%, and post-tax return on tangible equity was 14.8%, despite higher non-recurring costs. I'll now return to the Investment Bank on slide 15. Revenues for the second quarter were 11% lower year-on-year. Fixed sales and trading decreased by 10% against what was an exceptional prior year quarter, and we're pleased with the underlying performance, which remains strong, with growth in structured activity helping to reduce the impact from a lower volatility environment. Financing revenues were higher year-on-year, reflecting the proven stability of the franchise, with net interest margin remaining robust and solid pipeline execution. Credit trading revenues were significantly higher, driven by improvements in the flow business and strong performance in distressed. Rates and foreign exchange revenues were significantly lower compared to a very strong prior year quarter and reflected a more normalized environment than the prior year period. Emerging markets revenues were lower as expected, with the prior year seeing heightened market activity linked to Russia's invasion of Ukraine and outperformance in the Asia region. Moving to origination and advisory, revenues were up 25%, driven by the non-recurrence of material leverage lending markdowns in the prior year. Excluding these markdowns, the business underperformed in a challenging market, with the global fee pool down approximately 20% year-on-year. Debt origination revenues were significantly higher, benefiting from the non-repeat of the aforementioned markdowns, though performance also reflected a partial year-on-year recovery in LDCM market share. Investment-grade revenues were slightly down year-on-year, but reflected market share gains in a lower fee pool environment. Advisory revenues were significantly lower, reflecting both lower fee pool and relative underperformance. With indications that deal activity is starting to recover, we expect our investments in the investment bank to result in a significant rebound in O&A performance into 2024. Non-interest expenses and adjusted costs increased versus the prior year, reflecting investments in both our controls and the business to support future revenue growth. Loan balances were slightly higher year-on-year, driven by higher origination across FIC, with quarter-on-quarter balances essentially flat. Provision for credit losses was 141 million euros, or 54 basis points of average loans. The increase versus the prior year was driven by higher Stage 1 and 2 provisions due to rating migrations and portfolio movements, combined with higher Stage 3 impairments, primarily in the commercial real estate sector. Turning to the private bank on slide 16. Reported revenues were 2.4 billion euros in the quarter, up 11% year-on-year, driven by higher deposit revenues. Revenues in the Private Bank Germany significantly increased by 16%, mainly due to higher deposit revenues, which more than compensated for changes in contractual and regulatory conditions affecting fee income. In addition, the prior year quarter benefited from higher valuation impacts. In the International Private Bank, revenues were up 4% or 6% if adjusted for foregone revenues from the sale of the financial advisory business in Italy. Growth was driven by deposit products, which also were the primary driver of the 11% growth in premium banking. In wealth management and bank for entrepreneurs, revenues were up 1% or 4% if adjusted for the aforementioned foregone revenues. Improved performance, mainly in Europe, was partially offset by continued slower business momentum in APAC. Turning to costs, non-interest expenses were up 26%, mainly attributable to an increase in non-operating expenses reflecting restructuring and severances provisions related to strategy execution, as well as provisions for individual litigation cases, whereas the prior year quarter benefited from net provision releases. Adjusted costs increased by 5%, mainly reflecting investments in infrastructure control improvements and strategic initiatives. Inflation impacts were largely mitigated by efficiency initiatives. Profits and key ratios in the quarter were impacted by a total of 254 million euros of non-operating expenses. Provisions for credit losses was 147 million euros, or 22 basis points of average loans in the quarter, which reflects the continued stability of our high-quality loan book, especially in the retail businesses, and continued risk discipline. Provision for credit losses in the prior year quarter benefited from releases of credit loss allowances following sales of non-performing loans. The significant sequential decline reflects a non-recurrence of certain idiosyncratic events in the International Private Bank in the first quarter. We saw solid net inflows in assets under management of 7 billion euros in the quarter, with 4 billion euros in investment products and €3 billion in AUM deposits. Let me continue with asset management on slide 17. As you will have seen in their report, DWS reported stable revenues despite the effect of weaker markets in 2022 and slightly lower adjusted profit before tax compared to the prior year. My usual reminder, the asset management segment includes certain items that are not part of the DWS standalone financials. Assets under management increased to €859 billion in the quarter, reflecting €11 billion of market appreciation and €9 billion of net inflows. Net inflows were primarily in passive and alternatives, notably in real estate. Flows in cash products once again have been significant and very volatile throughout the quarter, ending with net outflows of €1 billion. Revenues declined by 6% versus the prior year. This was predominantly driven by higher funding charges in the segment and a decline in management fees from a reduction in average assets under management. Performance and transaction fees were significantly higher year on year, driven by the alternatives business. Other revenues declined due to higher funding charges and lower mark-to-market valuations of co-investments, partly offset by net interest income on excess cash from rising interest rates. Non-interest expenses were slightly higher, with adjusted costs remaining essentially flat. Compensation costs were slightly higher, driven by variable retention costs and hiring to support transformation and business growth. General and administrative costs were also slightly higher, reflecting higher banking services costs and transformation implementation, mostly offset by a decline in group support costs. Non-operating costs are significantly higher than the prior year from an increase in litigation costs. Profit before tax of €103 million in the quarter was down 34% compared to the prior year. The cost-income ratio for the quarter was 76% and return on tangible equity was 12%. Moving to Corporate and Other on slide 18. Corporate and Other reported a pre-tax loss of €115 million this quarter, a substantial improvement versus the pre-tax loss of €500 million in the second quarter of 2022 on the same basis. This year-on-year improvement was driven to a large part by valuation and timing differences, which were positive €252 million this quarter. As a reminder, valuation and timing differences arise on derivatives used to hedge the economic risk of the group's balance sheet. These are accounting impacts, and the current period gains partially reflect reversals of prior period valuation losses as the underlying instruments approach maturity. The pre-tax loss associated with our legacy portfolios was €170 million versus negative €120 million in the prior year quarter, driven by additional litigation provisions relating to Polish foreign currency mortgages. Expenses associated with shareholder activities, as defined in the OECD transfer pricing guidelines, were €138 million in this quarter, compared to €120 million in the prior year quarter. Funding and liquidity impacts were negative €10 million in the current quarter, compared to negative €126 million in the prior year quarter. The reversal of non-controlling interests in the operating businesses, primarily from DWS, was positive €51 million, broadly flat year on year. Other impacts reported in the segment aggregated to negative €100 million. Risk-weighted assets stood at €41 billion at the end of the second quarter, down €2 billion since the first quarter of 2023. The RWA figure includes €19 billion of operational risk RWA. Turning to the group outlook for the full year on slide 19. With first half revenues above €15 billion, we believe that revenues above the midpoint for our guidance range of €28 to €29 billion for the full year 2023 are achievable. We continue to execute on our agenda to foster the bank's growth ambitions and to improve the bank's structural efficiency. As Christian outlined, we have a number of measures underway. Adjusted costs for the full year 2023 are still expected to be essentially flat compared to 2022, benefiting from strict cost management, lower single resolution fund charges for the current year, as well as a potential restitution payment from a national resolution fund. We now expect non-interest expenses to be slightly higher compared to 2022. This reflects higher than anticipated litigation expenses we had in the second quarter and an impact in relation to the Newman's transaction, which we expect to close in the fourth quarter. Provision for credit losses is now expected at the upper end of our guidance range of 25 to 30 basis points of average loans, reflecting the current macro backdrop and lower loan balances than initially anticipated. Our capital guidance is unchanged. Our second quarter CET1 ratio of 13.8% allows us to absorb roughly 70 basis points of headwinds in the second half, reflecting the impacts from model changes, share buybacks, and the Numis acquisition. We remain committed to our capital objectives, most importantly, the distribution of 8 billion euros to shareholders in respect of the financial years 2021 to 2025, and moving up to a 50% payout ratio. And as Christian said, part of this plan is the next phase of our share buyback, which will commence next month and will be finalized in the second half of this year. So the performance and the growth opportunities we seized in the first half of this year strengthen our confidence in the path towards our 2025 targets and our global house bank strategy. With that, let me hand back to Silke, and we look forward to your questions.